I texted her as I began to work on the piece. It was sort of an exuberant text, and I said to her, "Jennifer, I think this is the first brand new contemporary piece of music where I've been saying things to myself, talking to myself, using language that is suitable for my daughter to hear." You know, that kind of sums it up, that it's like, gosh, this lays well. I could tell it was going to be a piece that would be very idiomatic, and that is a big priority. And you know, Ward, how did you feel when you first opened up that score? Could you hear it in your head?
Oh yes, perfectly from the very first reading.
Well, you conductors have magical qualities.
Well, the thing that I remember actually about opening up the score was the third movement, because you know I had no idea really what to expect. I didn't even know that it would be four movements instead of the standard three. Mm-hmm. I was familiar with Jennifer's music, of course, and I've been a big fan of hers for many, many years. But I remember when I turned the page and got to the third movement, I thought, oh my God, this is so brilliant. This is so stunning. It's so beautiful. It's unique. It makes the piece special. And then when I heard the story and what you told Jennifer about, you know, your daughter and, mm-hmm. and how she reacted to that music, the whole piece is a highlight. I mean, from start to finish, it's fantastic. But the third movement is really the high point, I think, expressively for mm-hmm. me.
You know, the third movement, she titled Lullaby. And it's funny because we spent a day together, Jennifer and I, in Philadelphia before she started composing the piece. And the idea was for us to just get acquainted. And I just sat there and I borrowed a harp and I played it for several hours for her, just about everything I knew, and you know, showed her what I thought really worked well. I even showed her some things I didn't think worked so well. We just talked about a lot of things, and as is the case, I'm sure I waxed on fairly abundantly about my daughter, who I'm in love with, but I'm sure it made an impression on Jennifer, and she subsequently titled the third movement Lullaby. I think that movement is very unique in that it's chamber music. It's not a full orchestral texture in comparison with the two movements that flank it, the Joyride and Rapnok. The second and the fourth movements are very orchestral. They're very big sounding, very powerful, and the harp gets to be pretty powerful too alongside. But the third movement is this intimate little chamber music piece. Mm. And I would imagine as a conductor, that's probably a really fine line and a balance to conduct, because as I'm sure, Ward, you've experienced, chamber musicians don't like to be conducted.
Right.
But at the same time, you got to be the traffic cop there because the rhythms were so intricate.
Well, you don't want to get in the way, certainly, especially when it's so few players, because that's part of the beauty of it, the intimacy, the chamber mm-hmm. atmosphere. But at the same time, as you say, it is very intricately composed, and the fact that we do have a very large orchestra deployed in much of the concerto means that when it's pared down, the people, there might be only, you know, 5 or 10 people playing at one moment, but they happen to be scattered all over the stage just because it's a big orchestra. And so you do need someone to kind of pull that together. I mean, in a perfect world, you'd have everyone get up and come together and just mm-hmm. sit in a little circle around the podium, and then you wouldn't need a conductor probably at that point.
And you know, it was interesting we're talking so much about the lullaby because it's really kind of I think it's almost like the little jewel in the crown of this piece. At first, I think both Ward and I felt the tempo a little slower, thinking, oh, lullaby, it needs to be a little bit more relaxed. But, you know, Jennifer did a really good job of explaining the idea to us. I think probably in part because my daughter is not a sleepy child, and she never has been, that the idea was the interplay and the precociousness and the childlike wonder, yet at the same time, this movement will not put anyone to sleep. So, you know, she really impressed upon us that this is like fluid and full of wonder rather than the somnambulant kind of experience.
Well, yeah, it's not, you're not snoring at all. You're dreaming, you're soaring. It levitates, you know, and
exactly.
You have to sort of let it lift off and then float. And mm-hmm. in order to do that, that's actually a place where the conductor can be useful. Just keeping things moving, the flow, the architecture, the big picture. Working with a composer in real time is such a gift, and having Jennifer there, being able to turn around in the rehearsals and say, What did you think about that? You know, is that what you had in mind? What can we change? It's an experience that I relish and that I love, and we couldn't have asked for a better collaborator and partner in Jennifer, I don't think.
Oh, no, absolutely. It's been so gratifying on so many levels. And the Rochester Philharmonic was absolutely fantastic. I mean, all American orchestras and probably everywhere, rehearsal time is always limited. You're always on the clock. So you really need an orchestra and a conductor that really tightens things up fast. And both for the reasons of having Jennifer there and just having great collaborators, I just can't imagine this being a more perfect situation to bring this piece to life.